following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody this morning? Come on, give yourselves a good hand. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Andrew McLean. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway. I'd like to give a special welcome to all of those who are listening to our message online. In fact, why don't we give them a big hand clap and welcome them to the Lifeway via the internet. Today we are in week three of a four-week series that we've entitled Overcomer. I want you to do this. We're doing this every week. Turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I am an overcomer. All right, we're getting a little better. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say it, though, like you are an overcomer. Come on, like Mel Gibson, right, in Braveheart. I am an overcomer. Come on, say it. All right, I'm going to start this morning right away with a really difficult question. If you want to pull out in your service guide a sermon, the sermon outline and follow along with us, I'd really appreciate that. But that is, the question I'm going to ask you today is, describe yourself using three words. So describe yourself using three words. What are the three words that best describe you? I'm going to give you a little bit of chance to think about it as you're contemplating. There may be somebody here in this room this morning that's kind of thinking, maybe scratching your head, and you're thinking, tall, dark, and handsome. You know, I find it funny that most people who say that, they're not tall, they're not dark, and let's just say they have a great personality, all right? In all seriousness, some people might say, I'm outgoing. I love people. I'm shy. I'm dependable. I'm a leader. I'm loyal. Others might describe themselves with life experiences. I'm married or I'm single. I'm divorced. I'm a dad. I'm a spouse. I'm a doctor. I'm an attorney. I'm a business owner. Others might go a little deeper and say things like, I would describe myself as fiercely competitive or very successful. But maybe you find yourself on the other end of the spectrum. You would describe yourself as resigned, or maybe even somebody here would describe themselves as a failure. So this morning I'm asking, how do you describe yourself? And the reason that question is being asked today is because I'm going to teach this morning about overcoming the lies of labels. Overcoming the lies of labels. So what is a label? Let's define that. It's the first blank in your outline. A label is a word or a phrase that is used to describe a person or a thing, particularly one that's restrictive in nature. It's something that is restrictive in nature. Whether you know it or not, labels are extremely powerful. Labels have a very big effect on our lives. It was the year 1990. I was in my freshman year of high school, so I've dated myself for some of you. And there are a few things that I remember about the early 90s. One was bad hair, right? Think about curling irons and Aquanet and half a, you know, can of hairspray, right? And the other thing, there was some, probably every decade could say this, there was some extremely questionable fashion trends in the 90s. I remember when MC Hammer, Can't Touch This, how many of you guys remember that, right? Rose to fame, and how along with him and the surfers in California, they made these pants, at least this is what we called them in high school, they made these pants known as jams famous, all right? If you don't remember, jams are these like super baggy pants that had elastic at the waist and how many of you, yeah, right there. In fact, the louder, the more obnoxious, the better. Anybody remember jams? Let me see your hands here, right? All right. Anybody used to wear jams? Let me see your hands. Oh, come on. Be honest. You're in church if you wore a jam. Anybody of you still wear jams? I'm going to pray for you after service, all right, if you do. Now growing up, our family didn't have much extra money for really anything, but especially the latest fashion trends. But my mom, who's here today, she could sew anything. In fact, she made most of my sister's clothes growing up. So that summer, I had asked her to get them some. She said, well, we can't afford to buy these, but I'll make you some. Let's go find a pattern for them. And so she made me two pairs of jams, a pair of black and white ones. Think skunk, like they were black on the outside and white on the inside of the leg. I don't know what I was thinking. And then this horrid gold colored print. In fact, there's a picture, should be up here in a second, with me wearing the gold ones. You didn't have to laugh that hard. Thank you. Wow. It's amazing I ever got married. There's not even words for that, is there? Should we just let you go home today? Now, the name brand jams had these big, almost like reflective labels that were located right where your belt buckle would be. But mine, the pairs that my mom made, only had a small label that was sewn on the inside of the hem that said, made especially for you by DJ McLean. She sewed that into most of the things that she made. But I didn't care. I was so excited to fit in. I was so excited the first week of school to wear my new pants until one of my friends came and asked me, where did you get your jams? And immediately my heart sank. I mumbled something under my breath because I didn't want my classmates to know that they didn't come from the store where all of the cool kids shopped. From a very early age in our lives, we learn that labels communicate value. Labels communicate worth. And whether or not we readily admit it, we all carry around labels in our lives. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're fortunate enough to have had positive labels affixed to your life by loving parents and coaches and mentors. You grew up hearing things like, you know what, you're a hard worker and you're a leader, you're successful, you're loved, you're smart. But unfortunately, many of us carry labels that are not so good. Many of us, we walk around and we carry labels like failure, stupid, loser, inadequate. And because of that, perhaps you've told yourself things like, you know, I want to be the dad that God's called me to be, but I'll never measure up. I can never be that person. Maybe you've said, you know, I want to be a great spouse, but who am I kidding? This is just a dream, something that I could never, ever achieve. Maybe you're here this morning and you battle with insecurity. Maybe you were abused as a child and you've told yourself, I'm damaged goods. I'll never be able to rise above the hurt and the pain. And so this morning, I don't know what your label is, but every single one of us in this room, at one point or another in our lives, we have carried a label. And here's the problem with labels. The longer that you wear a label, the less it describes your past, and the more it determines your future. The longer you wear a label, the more it stops describing your past and the more it begins to determine the future of your life. In fact, researchers did a study with some young, I believe, elementary age students, and this is what they discovered about labels. If you have a student who learns more slowly than just say the average students in a classroom and you pull them aside and you label them as slow, if they continue to be taught the same way and their home life remains the same, in other words, if nothing changes, if the child is aware that they've been labeled as slow, what will happen is their school performance will actually decrease over time. But if you take that exact same child and if you would label them as advanced and nothing else changes, the teaching methods don't change, nothing at home changes except for the label. If you label them as advanced, their school performance will actually increase. And why is that? Because labels are powerful. The words that we speak to one another are powerful. And this is how it often plays out in our lives. If I walk around and I feel labeled as a failure because of what happened in my childhood or maybe at school or at work or in my relationship, if I fail enough and I feel like a failure, I will eventually become afraid to try new things. Because if I try new things and it doesn't work out, it only confirms the fact that I am a failure. The longer we wear our labels, the less it describes our past and the more it begins to determine our future. So many people today are held captive by their labels. They're unwilling to move forward, to take a chance because they're afraid of the pain of the label being proved right. But the good news this morning is that it doesn't have to be that way. We can overcome our labels. We can overcome the labels of our past. This morning, I want to share a story with you that is found in the Gospel of Mark chapter 2. And this story is primarily about two people, Jesus and another man. Now, the Bible doesn't record the man's name. And I don't know about you, but telling a story without somebody's name is kind of difficult. So I'm just going to call him Robert today, all right? I'm sorry if we have any Roberts in the house. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to pick on you. But at the time of this story, Jesus was the greatest thing that was in the most exciting thing that was happening in the world. Almost anywhere that Jesus went, massive crowds of people would show up and Jesus would teach. He was a revolutionary. People had never heard teaching like this. And then to top all of that off, he would heal people. And so what was happening is the more Jesus did this, the more people would begin to tell others, which would lead to even larger crowds of people. And so the problem was the man in this story, Robert, we're calling him, desperately needed to have an encounter with Jesus Christ. Now, the only thing that the Bible tells us about him is that he was paralyzed. He couldn't get around. And so if there was anyone in Scripture that understood what it was like to be labeled, it was this man, Robert. Not only did he carry the label of being physically broken, but his condition led to him being unemployable. Robert couldn't pay his own way. That meant it was very likely that he felt like he was a burden to his family. In fact, chances are he may have even felt unwanted by them. He was required to depend on others simply to survive. To top it off, in that day, if you had a physical disability, it was assumed that you or your family had done something to deserve that condition. Whether you deserved it or not, as a handicapped person, you carried the label of being a sinner. If anybody understood the weight of carrying labels, it was this man. Fortunately, though, for Robert, he had some friends who had heard about Jesus and they had heard about the miracles that he was performing and they found out that Jesus was going to be in their area and so they thought, you know what, if only we can just get Robert to Jesus. And so Scripture tells us that they carried him to the place that Jesus was teaching, but when they arrived, there were so many people in the house that they couldn't get Robert on the inside. And so as good friends will often do, these guys, they get creative and somehow, I don't know how you do this, but they manage to get Robert onto the roof of the house, a crippled man. Now, if that isn't crazy enough, they then proceed to dig a hole in the roof and they dig it all open and they get a hole big enough to get a man through and they lowered Robert down until he was laying right in front of Jesus, in front of this crowded room, this full house of people. Now, if anybody ever felt self-conscious, I'm sure it was Robert. Here he was, crippled, not able to move, hanging from the ceiling, interrupting Jesus' teaching. He couldn't run away and hide. He was probably thinking about all the people that were staring at him and all of the labels and all the things that had been said about him and that he had carried for his entire life. And so everyone in the house, as I'm sure if it happened and the roof started getting pulled off and someone dropped in, we would sit back and we'd want to see, hey, what in the world is going to happen next? Like this was like must-see TV, only it was in reality. And so in Mark 2:5, it says this, seeing their faith. Now I want to pause right there because it's interesting to me that it says seeing their faith. It doesn't say seeing his Robert's faith. Who was Jesus talking about? He was talking about his friends who are now at this point up in the ceiling looking down at Jesus through this gaping hole. And this is so important. The next blank in your outline, number one, is it's important because the faith of those around you matters. The faith of those around you matters. Listen, your friends will either carry you closer to Jesus or they will pull you further away. And so Robert's friends decided if we can just get him close enough to Jesus, maybe, just maybe, he can do something. I want you to know that transformation rarely happens in isolation. It happens in community. Transformation rarely happens in isolation. It happens in community. Often when counseling with people going through difficult circumstances, I'll ask them, you know, who do you have to talk to? Who's there to help hold you accountable? Who's there to walk with you through this storm? And one of the scariest responses that I hear is, well, nobody, Pastor. There isn't anybody. Why? And why is it so scary? Because I know that transformation almost never happens when we are isolated and on our own. God's plan has always been for us to be in community with each other. You may say, well, Andrew, that's great. But I don't have a group of friends like Robert had. I don't have a group of people like that in my life. Well, I want to tell you, as a church, we have those people for you. In fact, we actually call them life groups. I'm in a life group. Listen, if this is your home church, you need to be in a life group. I say this all the time. It's not a matter of if the storm is going to come. It's when the storm comes. And if you're not connected to a group of people that can walk you through difficult days, it's too late when you're in the middle of the storm. So you need to be in a life group. They're going to be relaunching here towards the end of September. In fact, August 23rd, you heard it during our plug announcement video, we're going to be having a training night for anyone who wishes to host a group. You may say, well, man, I'm not smart enough to host a group. I don't know enough Bible. Listen, if you can hit play on a DVD player, you can host a group. Can everybody here do that, right? We're going to make it as easy as possible for you. So I encourage you to host a group, or if you don't host a group, at least get in a group, be a part of it. But this is what happens when you are in a life group. Jesus is able to do a work inside of you as you are carried by those who love you closer to him. We need one another to grow. Going back to verse 5 in our story, it says this, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. Jesus looks at this man, Robert, who's laying there, who's carrying all of these labels. He's feeling broken. He's feeling unwanted. He's feeling unloved. He's feeling like he's a burden. And Jesus looks at him and says, your sins are forgiven. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I read the Bible, I think, what? Jesus' response almost seems insensitive. Jesus, can't you see that he's crippled? What about the fact that he can't get a job? What about all the mean things that people have said behind Robert's back? Jesus, can't you see the real need? But it's important to remember the next blank in your outline that Jesus is more concerned with healing the source than he is with healing the symptoms. Jesus is more concerned with healing the source, not the symptoms. You see, what Robert needed most was not a new label. What he needed most that day was he needed a new identity. He needed a new identity. You see, some of you may have thought as you walked into church this morning that if these people, meaning the rest of the congregation here, knew the real me, if they knew my real struggles, if they really knew where my marriage was at or where my kids were at, if they really knew, there is no way that I'd ever be welcomed here. Maybe in times past, as you've reflected on your past, you may have thought, you know what, if I could just get a new label, if I could just get a better label, then I'll be okay to come to God and approach him. What you need to understand this morning is that our Heavenly Father has a tremendous amount of love for you. I want you to know that he is standing at the edge of his porch. And he's intently peering out, and he's looking out into the distance. He's wondering if today will be the day that you, his son, and you, his daughter, will come home to see him. We so often mistakenly think, if I could just get a new label, if I could just get my life together, then maybe, just maybe, I'll be good enough for Jesus Christ to accept me. But what Jesus Christ offered us on the cross of Calvary, it's not a better label. What he'd offered us is a brand new identity. I'm going to get way off my notes here for just a minute. The problem with Christianity today is many of us are walking around carrying it as a label, and we've not allowed God to transform our lives. And that's why we're seeing the turmoil that we're seeing in Charlottesville or whatever it is, that because people are walking around in the name of Christianity, they're carrying a label, but their heart has not been transformed. Jesus said that you will know my disciples by what? Their love for one another. So I want to tell you this morning, this needs to be a church where everybody is welcome, whether race, creed, background, language, demographic, where you work. The house of God was meant for whosoever will, let him come. If it's not written on the label of our jams, but it's written on our soul. And what Jesus writes on our soul when we come to him is, that one's mine. That one's mine. You're mine. You're mine. You are my child. Can I tell you that all these years later, the stupid designer label that was missing from my jams doesn't mean a single thing. But what does matter was that I have a mother who loves me unconditionally. I have a mother who loves me in spite of my faults, right? In spite of my failures, the bad choices that I made, even the good things I've done. My mother loves me, and in the same way, our Heavenly Father is so much more. He loves us in spite of what we've done. Here's the difference between a label and an identity. Number two, a label may describe you, but your identity in Christ defines you. While a label may describe your past, your identity in Christ defines your future. I love this. The Apostle Paul said this in Galatians 3:28. He said, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. What did Paul do in this verse? He lists the defining characteristics of his day. And he says, these labels are no longer what defines you. You now belong to Jesus Christ. We need to remember that. Back to our story in Mark 2, in verse 10, it says this, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and he said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And with those words, Robert stands up, he rolls up his mat, he walks out the door, and boom, drop the mic. That service was over, right? I mean, that's the way we read it, right? The next verse says, they were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. The credits roll at the end of the story, and everybody lives happily ever after. If you're like me, that's how I typically read the Bible. They all lived happily ever after. But I want you to think about it for a moment. What happened to Robert? Even though this story is over, his life isn't. One could argue that his life only really began that day. And whether he lived one more day or whether he lived another 50 years, I can guarantee you this. Every place that Robert went, people would whisper, hey, there's that guy Robert. Remember, I told you about him. He was the one that was a cripple, remember? He was the one who couldn't get a job. He was the one who couldn't provide for himself. His family had to take care of him. Hey, you remember Robert? He's the one that used to sit down by the gate and beg for money. Hey, you remember Robert? I don't know what he did, but he was paralyzed. Someone in his family must have really sinned bad. From that day forward, even though circumstances changed, nothing really changed, because everywhere that Robert went, people were probably whispering. And some of you sitting here this morning, you know exactly what that feels like because of the labels that you carry. Everywhere that you go, people whisper, hey, that's John. That's John. He's the one who used to be an alcoholic. That's the guy who used to be completely addicted to drugs and messed up his whole life. Hey, you remember Jamie? I told you about her. Remember how she cheated on her spouse? And people just whispering. And every time you hear it, every time you hear one of those labels, you die a little bit more on the inside. Why can't I just be known as John? Why can't I just be known as Jamie? Labels we carry hurt. There's a lady in the Old Testament who knew all about people whispering behind her back. Her name was Rahab. We're actually introduced to Rahab in Joshua chapter 2. She lived in the city of Jericho, but she lived on the wrong side of the walls in this story because the people of God, the children of God, the Israelites, they were coming to take over the promised land, and her city was the first city that stood in the way. Rahab was not one of God's chosen children. She lived inside of Jericho that was soon to be conquered and destroyed. Once again, we don't know a whole lot about Rahab other than the fact that she was a prostitute. But Rahab ended up hiding and saving the Israelite spies, and so because of that, her life was spared when Jericho was overthrown. In fact, it's interesting that Rahab's name is mentioned 8 times in the Bible. She even shows up in the lineage of Jesus Christ, where it reads Jesus, the son of Joseph, who was the son of so-and-so and the son of so-and-so, and all down through the generations, the son of Rahab, the prostitute. 6 of the times she's mentioned, she's described as a prostitute. And if any of us were to walk in her shoes today, we'd probably be wondering, why can't it just be Rahab? Why does it always have to include the label of my past mistakes? Why would God inspire the writers of Scripture to record it over and over and over again? Rahab the prostitute. This is what I believe. I believe it wasn't because Rahab's past was too big to be forgiven, but rather it's God's work in her life was too big to be denied. You see, Robert, in our story, we don't even know his real name. The only mention of him was a label, but we certainly know the name of the person, the name of the one who healed him. And even though his name is unclear, his purpose was perfectly clear. His life, his story, his testimony was going to be to point other people to Jesus Christ. You could say it this way, number 3, what the devil meant for evil, God will use for good. What the devil meant for evil, God will use for good. God has a way of turning around our tragedy. He has a way of turning around our shortcomings. And he has this magnificent way of using them for his good. Maybe you're sitting here and this week you've been thinking, you know what, I'm so tired of being a single parent. But I want you to know the encouragement for you today is this. You may be a single parent, but you're a complete picture of what it looks like to fully rely on Jesus Christ. Maybe you walked in this morning, you think, man, I wish I could provide better for my family. I wish that we just weren't broke all of the time. But the encouragement for you today is the invaluable inheritance that you're going to pass on to your children. It may not be in the form of dollars and cents, but your children are going to grow up and know what it looks like to fully trust in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're struggling with an addiction right now, or maybe in the past you've struggled with addiction. Listen, I don't know what's in your past, but this is what I do know. God can use your past to change someone's future. God can use your past to change someone's future. You can be a clear picture of what freedom in Christ truly looks like. You may ask this morning, Andrew, well, how do you know that? How do you know that? Well, I know it because I've lived it. I remember just in the last 8 or 9 years of my life when God first began to deal with my heart about planting a life-giving church. Shortly thereafter, we moved to Palm Bay, Florida to do what I thought was to plant the Lifeway in Palm Bay, Florida. But as God so often does, God had different plans. It wasn't a time to build, but rather that was a season to be broken down. And I'm just going to be honest and just kind of share some of the wounds of my heart. During that year, I lost almost everything. For over 1 year, I couldn't get a job. Financially, we lost our entire savings, including the money that we saved to one day buy a home. I lost my entire retirement fund. It was a tough season, and because of that, I became depressed, and I gave myself labels like loser and incapable. How could someone who couldn't even financially provide for his family ever build a successful church? These were the questions I started asking in my mind. Because the church that we were going to plant looked different than the churches did in the organization that I had grown up in. Many ministry friends, and I say that loosely, ministry friends abandoned us. I carried the labels. They gave me labels as compromiser and gave me labels such as sellout. I was told that I was throwing away everything that I had spent my entire life working so hard to achieve in ministry. Labels, things that hurt. Due to some of my extremely unhealthy habits, we almost lost our marriage. And so I labeled myself as a failure. I labeled myself as stupid. How could I allow a church job to become a mistress and destroy my family? Certainly, I could never plant a church because of all the mistakes that I had made in my life. Labels that hurt. One of the spiritual father figures in my life who in the past had confirmed my calling to plant a church. He had told me how God had great things in store for the future of my life and for the future of my ministry. And about a year before we launched, he called me into a meeting and proceeded to label me as unqualified to do the job. I was a mess. It hurt. It broke me on the inside. Just to name a few, I was carrying around the labels of loser and incapable and compromiser and sellout and failure and stupid and unqualified. Listen, here's what I've learned over the last 8 years of my life. God is much more concerned, the next blank in your outline, God is much more concerned with who you are on the inside than what you've done. God's more concerned with who you are on the inside than what you have or have not done. Can I be honest this morning? The problem today is that we are looking for the opinions and the validation of people that in the end really don't matter. I remember the day that God began to set me free from many of these labels, and I remember wrestling with God over these labels and these things. Some people that I'd greatly respected in my life had spoken these negative things, but I remember him saying to me, Andrew, at the end of time, when I call my church home and when everybody stands in front of me on the day of judgment, on the day of reckoning, you will not stand in judgment before any of the naysayers. You're going to stand before me. Listen, my identity is not in the labels passed out by former pastors or teachers or friends or old bosses or anyone else. My true identity and your true identity can only be found in Jesus Christ. And when I rediscovered that Jesus loved me unconditionally, when I rediscovered the fact that he had his arms held out wide in spite of the failures and the bad things that I had done, that I was living my life not for the approval of men, but for the approval of him, it was at that point that the labels began to fall, and I was set free from the damage that they were doing to my life, and I was set free to pursue what God has called me to do. So this morning, I want to tell someone that what the devil is whispering in your ear is not who you are. I come to speak a prophetic word over someone. What the devil has whispered, what an evil father or mother has said over your life, what an evil teacher or coach spoke to you years ago, what somebody wicked did to you does not determine your future. That does not mean who you are today. When I started this message, I asked you to write down three words that describe you. Honestly, I don't know what anyone in this room wrote down. In fact, there probably are some of you that were too ashamed to write down anything because of what you truly feel on the inside. If you were honest, maybe today you would describe yourself as a failure. There might be somebody here that would describe themselves as a mistake. You might describe yourself as unwanted. And so while those three words may describe your past, listen this morning, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, what defines your future is that He loves you and He has a great plan for you. How much does He love you? He loved you so much to leave the heavens and come to earth and go to Calvary and get on a cross and die for your sins. This morning, to place your value in anything else is taking away how Jesus Christ has defined you and how Jesus Christ sees your future. I want to set somebody free here this morning and let you know that the only validation that you will ever need is the outstretched arms of a Savior who loves you so much. As we close this morning, I know that there are many people here who struggle with one, maybe two, three, four, five, six labels that are holding you back. I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ is here to give you a brand new perspective, to set you completely 100% free and give you a new identity. Jesus Christ is here not to reveal a label, but to reveal a new identity in your life. I love this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And so if you're here today, and you'd like to find freedom from the labels that you're carrying, in just a few moments, I want you to take that before God, and I want you just to release that to Him. If you're here this morning and maybe you're carrying labels, but you've also never made that decision to follow Jesus, listen, right now is a great time to make that step and get a brand new identity. With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, but if you're ready to make that step and say, you know what, God, I've been messing around for too long and I'm ready to be your child. I'm ready to make that first step of commitment towards you. Maybe you've drifted away and you've just fallen away and you want to recommit. If that's where you are today, I want to pray for you. Why don't you just lift your hands? No one looking around, why don't you just lift your hands? Is there anybody who says, yes, today I'm ready for that new start? Thank you. I see your hands in the right. Thank you in the back. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you, I see your hand here. This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's all pray together. If you don't know the words to say, I'll help you, but otherwise just begin to talk to the Lord. Jesus, Lord, I thank you so much. Lord, for offering me grace, for offering me mercy, for offering me forgiveness. Lord, I know I've sinned, but Lord God, today I'm ready to turn from my sin and follow you. Lord Jesus, today I give my life to you. Lord Jesus, Lord God, I thank you so much, Lord God, that the horrible things that have been spoken over some of us aren't the things that define us. Lord God, that what defines us is the value that you have in us. And so God, I'm asking right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God, that you would set people here that are broken. People that are hurting. People who are afraid to make the step that they know deep down inside you've called them to make. Lord God, I pray that labels like inadequate and unqualified and sick and unfaithful and liar and cheater and addicted and stupid and lazy and ugly, Lord God, I pray that those things would be broken. Those are not from you. And so, Lord, I bind those things by the power of your Spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord God, that there would be a revelation. Lord God, reveal to us our identity in you. We are more than overcomers. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said,
amen. Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.